I'm Dr. Robert Mather, and I am the conservative social psychologist. Welcome to my podcast. My podcasts are available exclusively at theconservativesocialpsychologist.com. Today is Friday, May 12th, 2021. So today we're going to learn a little bit about what's called the Goldwater Rule. The American Psychiatric Association's ethics annotation of 1973 is also known as the Goldwater Rule. And so this was because of in the 1964 elections for president, a number of psychiatrists and psychologists had come out and made statements that Barry Goldwater was unfit for office psychologically. And so part of the text of this Goldwater Rule that came out later, it is unethical for a psychiatrist to offer a professional opinion unless he or she has conducted an examination and has been granted proper authorization for such a statement. So the idea here is that they're not allowed to speak out on the mental health of somebody that they haven't personally examined. Now, this was regularly violated after the 2016 election, right, with President Trump. If you read Psychology Today at all, which if you go there, you should probably read my column. But if you read anybody else's column, it's going to be a very different perspective on the field. That's for sure. I'm the only conservative writer there out of everybody. And that's kind of how this whole thing got started. But if you go there to Psychology Today and look back at articles from the past 4 or 5 years, you will see many people in the field of psychology and mental health writing about the mental health of President Trump. You saw people on CNN doing the same thing regularly. In fact, Larry O'Connor had me on his radio show at one point to talk about the ethics of this. Fortunately for me, I'm not a clinician. I don't help people. I'm a research psychologist, so I'm trained in science, and I conduct psychological research. Attitudes and persuasion is what I study. So I can say whatever I want to about somebody's mental health, just like any other citizen can, and not have any licensing board or any problems with anything like that. But the American Psychiatric Association's Goldwater Rule prohibits people from doing that, and there's been 4 years of debate as to whether or not they should scrap that rule so that people could trash Trump, essentially. The ethical principles of psychologist and code of conduct from the American Psychological Association in 9.01 for basis of assessment says that psychologists provide opinions of the psychological characteristics of individuals only after they have conducted an examination of the individuals adequate to support their statements or conclusions, clarify the probable impact of their limited information on the reliability and validity of their opinions, and appropriately limit the nature and extent of their conclusions or recommendations. So same thing. You've got to see the person and examine them in person yourself with appropriate tests to make any type of statements about their mental health as a professional psychologist or psychiatrist. So whether it's APA, the psychiatric one, or APA, the psychological one, those are the rules that you're bound by. And they were massively violated in the past 5 years. And everybody made the argument that the president's mental health should be fair game. Anybody's health should be fair game. If you can see it from afar, you should be able to say whatever you want. Okay, well, then let's play by the same rules now. Let's talk about Joe Biden's mental health, which we should have been talking about while he was on the campaign trail, when he was forgetting where he was, right? He forgot he was running for president. He said, "I'm Joe Biden. I'm running for Senate," right? He said that. We all heard that, even though the mainstream media didn't want to report it. He forgot people's names. He forgot the names of appointees. Recently, he forgot the name of his Secretary of Defense. He forgets things all the time. Jill Biden answers questions for him when he's in interviews. She jumps in and holds his hand and answers all the questions. Who the hell's running this country? Jill Biden's not even elected, right? Jill Biden's not elected, and some people would say Joe Biden's not elected. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. But Jill Biden seems to be leading him along and answering all his questions and propping up this, it's really sad to see what's going on with Joe Biden for sure. The other day I was mentioning to my son about how Joe Biden doesn't go anywhere without Jill Biden calling all the shots and leading him by the hand everywhere he goes, and you'll never see him without her. And so there was some footage on of him walking to the helicopter. And so I said, well, hey, cool, look, he's walking by himself. This is a big accomplishment, right? Because we know that in last fall on the campaign trail, he couldn't walk around without tripping over a dog and hurting himself. But anyway, so he's walking to the helicopter, and you're looking at him smiling and waving very robotically. And in the background, you see Jill Biden, and she's hunkered down, and she's clenching her fists, and she's hoping that he doesn't fall as he's walking to the helicopter, because that's where we're at in this country, is we've got a president that can't walk, okay? And this is the problem. So he forgets words. He can't read the teleprompter well. Remember, he read off the teleprompter that his line was supposed to go there, or something that he did during the campaign trail. And so anyway, Joe Biden's mental health should be fair game. I don't understand where all these psychologists were and all these psychiatrists that were out there consistently beating the drum, saying that we have to be able to psychoanalyze from afar where they're at now. They're not saying anything. There should be articles everywhere about that, but they're not. What about cancel culture, right? Cancel culture is hiked up its intensity now, right? All sorts of examples we can come up with that, right? Goya Foods, because the owner supported President Trump, which removed Trump from the equation, right? Anybody who supports the President of the United States within this country, that shouldn't be a controversial position, right? But there was a big call for boycotting Goya Foods. President Trump was, of course, banned from Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and YouTube. And why was he banned? Because some people that he didn't even know and never interacted with did something allegedly. And he was banned from all of those things. Right? That's cancel culture, the demand that he be taken down from those things. Of course, we talked last week about Dr. Seuss's books. Loudoun County, Virginia school board banning all Seuss books and anything related to Seuss and eliminating National Reading Day being celebrated because of a few of the older books. Now, I haven't seen the older books. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be taken off the market, right? Like, there's an opportunity to just maybe not print those things or edit them or do something different. That's fine. I don't have a problem with whoever owns the rights to the books choosing not to publish things anymore. There's lots of things that probably shouldn't be published anymore or should be taken down. But it's the contaminant element of it, right? That anything that's remotely related to it ever in the history of time, or anybody who's read a book of Dr. Seuss is contaminated and must be purged, right? That's the cancel culture, the irrationality of the whole thing. Of course, we had Parler, the alternative to Twitter. Parler was shut down because Facebook and Twitter and Apple and Amazon Web Services all colluded to shut down this new free speech platform. And then people harassed the lawyers and pressured them to eventually drop their clients in a very time-sensitive case that was looking for an injunction to keep Amazon Web Services from dropping Parler with no warning. And of course, there have been numerous professors over the past 4 or 5 years who have been essentially canceled by mobs that come out and write tons of letters and say, you got to get rid of this person, or we will boycott your university, we will do whatever. So there's many examples of that. Lee Justum writes a lot about some of those instances, and he's written several articles on how to survive the attack of the cancel culture. To me, the cancel culture is the mob that calls for a large-scale boycotts of individuals or companies for political reasons. So regardless of the outcome, to me, it's about the process, right? There is a cancel culture, it's process, right? If a wide-eyed, crazy, wild mob gets whipped up into a frenzy, calls for somebody's head and doesn't get it, that still counts as cancel culture because they were trying. So in conclusion, hey, I also like to point out that I have a new book that will make me the target of cancel culture, Implicit Biases in the Unconscious, Liberal Biases, Racial Prejudice in Politics. It's on sale at barnesandnoble.com. Buy a copy and leave a good rating before the cancel culture gets me. Listen to my podcast exclusively at theconservativesocialpsychologist.com.